This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
In this episode, Alice shares how she became an author, and then how she became an author who has supported herself for 13 years. She is also the founder of the successful summer camp, Words on Fire Writing Camp for Teens, which is going on to its 13th summer. Alice gives advice for creatives on how to support themselves as they create their art, a consistent income, and setting and sticking to a trajectory with their careers. Valeria interviews Alice B. McGinty. She is the author of The Sea Knows, Feasts and Festivals Around the World, From Lunar New Year to Christmas, A Synagogue Just Like Home, Bathe the Cat, Gandhi, A March to the Sea, and many other titles. Alice B. McGinty delights in igniting imaginations. As the award-winning author of over 50 children's books, she makes fiction and nonfiction accessible, engaging, and fun. Her books include 2022 JLG Selection and Chicago and New York Public Library's Best Book of 2022, Bathe the Cat, 2021 ALA Notable Book, JLG Selection, and Norman A. Sugarman Honor Book, The Water Lady, How Darlene Arviso Helps a Thirsty Navajo Nation, and 2019 JLG Selection, The Girl Who Named Pluto, The Story of Venetia Burney. Alice is a regional advisor emerita of the Illinois chapter of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, a presenter, writing coach and tutor, book reviewer, freelance writer, mom, and last but not least, a traveler. Meet Alice at alicebmcginty.com, newsfromthehappyside.com, and wordsonfirecamp.wordpress.com. Here's the interview with Alice B. McGinty.
In your own words, who is Alice B. McGinty?
Alice B. McGinty is positive energy, stubbornness,
yes,
curiosity, and I'm a wanderer and I'm a wanderer. And I think that translates, to me, it translates into being a writer who is always asking questions, always exploring, whether it be nature or other cultures or foods. And my stubbornness has gotten me where I am today, pure, dogged persistence.
What's not to love about that, especially knowing what you have done, what you've been up to in your life? So the second question is, why children's book? Why becoming a writer for children? That's my second question.
Sure. Always thought that I wanted to write for kids. And I think it's because I was a kid at heart. Once I had my own two boys, I thought that I would start writing for their ages and then grow up with them as they got older. I'm like, oh, I'll write books for, you know, older kids as they get older and see what's happening in their lives. And it didn't happen. They got older and I stayed young. Absolutely love the art of writing for young kids. I feel like I look at a topic, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, and I find the gem within it, the deep gem, and I polish it. So yes. I've just stuck with picture books, and I really love that art.
How wonderful. I love that too. You know, I have interviewed some authors who write for children, and I actually have, we talked about specific books and they were for children. There's something about the simplicity that it's just caused my attention. I guess it makes me think about us as adults kind of living life from that perspective as well, making it as simple as possible and colorful and playful. It's not always the case, as you know. So what is the secret in your case, Alice? How do you keep your heart young? What is your suggestion for all of us adults?
I remember I read in a book, this was a lot of years ago now, but I was an adult, and it's talking about, oh, get in touch with your inner child. And I remember I kind of panicked. Oh, yes. My inner child, what if I don't have one? Yeah. Then I read more, and they're like, well, the inner child is the one who jumps in the puddles. And I said, well, I still do that. Yeah. And I realized that I'm so connected to my inner child. I just think of it as part of me. It's just simply how I interact with the world and how I see myself. So I am a mature adult, but I also feel like I'm just a kid at heart. And so my secret is to play and just keep in touch with who I am as a kid inside.
Wow. That's a beautiful suggestion, a beautiful reminder for all of us to engage more with that inner child. You probably also have heard about this concept of inner child in psychology. It's not as happy, per se, as we are speaking now on that tone. It's more getting into the depth of that person that we used to be when we were children and we lost contact with because of trauma or because of suffering. So, and a lot of times that inner child is hurt, so it's actually causing problems more than joy. So I love the way you said that you use that term, but in a completely different way that I have heard for so many therapists and psychologists that I interview here. That's refreshing, that the inner child doesn't have to be always that part of us that's hurt or immature.
It can be that happy, curious, exploring, you know, just feeling wonder in the world around us.
Yes. Yes.
As if it's new, like a child sees it.
Yes. And, you know, it sounds very spiritual to me as well. I don't know if you have heard about some spiritual philosophies. They do talk about that, returning to innocence, to the childlike mentality, way of being. That's a spiritual concept. Do you have any spiritual practices or views of yourself or life?
I think I'm a very spiritual person. And my spirituality comes from a connection to nature. I go outside almost every day. And I have it's so important for me to feel that connection to the world around me. If I don't, then I lose myself because I feel I'm part of that natural world. So my spiritual practices involve being outside and that connection every day.
Yes. Yeah, that's another beautiful and insightful message for all of us. Another reminder. Yes, I feel the same way. And I often ask the question here, why do we feel that way? What is about nature that takes us deeper into what we are? It's not even who we are, but what? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I think it's very primal, don't you? That we are part of the natural world, and human beings sometimes forget that because we've built so much up around ourselves. But to me, I think so much of my spirituality is remaining connected to the natural world around me. And that keeps my child alive and my curiosity alive, because there's always something new to see. So it's the explorer in me.
Yeah, that's my idea too. I usually say that we are not part of nature. We are nature as well, because we tend to think that we are apart from, we're just part of nature, but we are not really nature. Everything is interconnected. There's something about thinking. I think that it's a gift and a curse at the same time, that, you know, we engage so much with the mental content that we forget that we are part of this interconnected natural realm. I think that's one of the, let's say, the aspects of being a human that's wonderful, isn't it? To think, to have this ability to think. But at the same time, it's important to give it a break, I guess. And some of us don't. And that's why we get ourselves in trouble with mental health. I love that as a message too.
I agree. Yeah, I read or heard this not too long ago, and it really stuck with me. We are human beings, not human doings. Uh-huh. I know I get so focused sometimes on doing, and, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. I made a list. All that is fine. But you know what? Sometimes we do just have to breathe and realize that we just need to be. We don't need to do. And just exist and breathe and be comfortable with who we are and where we are at that right at this moment.
Wow. Yes, a billion times to that, to being here now, right? Yes, yeah. So let me mention some of the, actually, you're the better person to mention some of the book titles. You have written so many of them. I have a list here. There's not a complete list. So if I missed any titles, please add them, Alice. So I have The Sea Knows, Feasts and Festivals Around the World, A Synagogue Just Like Home, Bathe the Cat. I like that one. It's kind of cute. It made me smile immediately. Gandhi.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, like as soon as I looked at it, I had a smile on my face. Gandhi, that's close to my heart, A March to the Sea, Step by Step, My Israel in Me, The Water Lady, and many others. So I know I missed some of them. Talk to me actually from that point. What book was the most, let's say, I don't want to say meaningful because probably all of them were, but what book has touched you in a way that has changed your life somehow, the most per se?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listing so many of my books. And I've been doing this a long time, so there are a lot of them out there. I'm going to say one of my earliest books, and it's called Thank You, World. It was inspired when I was actually at a swimming pool with my sons, and it was a really hot day. They were very young, and we couldn't get in because it was adult swim, so we were waiting. And all of a sudden, here we are sweating, and a breeze blew by. It felt so cool and so refreshing that I said to myself, thank you, breeze. And then I liked how that sounded. And so often I come to my books through words. And I just love words. So I love that. Thank you, breeze. And then I started asking myself, well, what else would I say thank you to? And I made a list. And the list became a poem. And that poem, years later, it took a long time to sell, became the book Thank You, World. And it simply, in a rhymed, lyrical way, says thank you to the breeze and the sun and the swings and then people in our lives. And to me, it really gets deep down to the heart of my spirituality and who I am as a person and that connection that I feel to the natural world.
Yes. Wow, how beautiful. Yes, I think I didn't see that title. I apologize. So gratitude, right, Alice? Okay. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's an important practice for children. That would change everything too. If we can start early, being grateful for everything, the smallest things, as you said, the breeze, to breathe, to be here now. Yeah, there's something about the concept, this presence, that it's the idea of being in the moment, being so connected to what is happening now, that this feeling of gratitude arises, and joy too. There's something about joy, gratitude, this feeling of belonging and the sense of purpose when we are connected to the present moment. Of course, all the aspects of it, they come into play, body, mind, and spirit. So gratitude is definitely one of those aspects. Ah, that's wonderful. Do you see the effect of your teachings? Because I love the way you speak of your own philosophy in life. That sounds very spiritual to me, and it is spiritual. Your children, do they reflect that understanding as of now, or they are still learning?
We're all still learning.
Ah, that's for sure. Yes.
Yeah, I see them on their journey, and now my kids are 32 and 34 years old.
Wow.
So they're grown up.
Yes.
And I think they each have definitely a strong spirituality. Neither is religious per se, but they found their way and their spirituality through their own connections.
Yes, that's the way to really have that realization, right, Alice? It's by experience. We can't really learn from abstract ideas or advice and suggestions. We have to go through whatever it is, live it in order to know. So, yes.
That's so true.
Let's see. Going back to the main topic about what you do and how you became an author. So you mentioned the email you sent to me said, yeah, it talks about what it was like. That's what one of the topics. So the question is, what it was like to become an author who supported herself for 13 years? That was after a divorce, sadly. So talk to me about that journey and what can you share that can inspire us to somehow listen and take similar steps per se.
Mm-hmm. And I love talking about this whole process because it was such a vital process in my life and a tough one. So I love to be able to share the journey, and hopefully this will help other people out there, other creatives who weren't sure or aren't sure if they can make a living doing what they're doing. So I've been an author for many, many years, and some years I would make money and other years I wouldn't make much. Mm-hmm. It was very inconsistent income. And so then when the divorce happened, all of a sudden I panicked. How am I going to support myself? I don't have control over my income. I don't know whether I'll sell books or if I'll get enough presentations in schools to make a living or not. And I truly was panicking. And a friend of mine gave me advice that got me through, and I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
She said, just kick the ball a little at a time. Because I was worried, where am I going to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Am I going to have to go, you know, find another job? And she said, basically, just small steps, because you may not know where you're going, and that's okay. That uncertainty is all right. But what can you do right now to take a small step, kick that ball just a little bit, and then see how it goes? And you can adjust as you need to. So I had always wanted to run a camp for kids who like to write, because my writing community, I'm part of a writer's organization called SCBWI. It's the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. It's been very important in my career and has allowed me to get to know other children's book writers all over the country and even the world. And I wanted to give that sense of community to young writers, because writing is obviously a very solitary act. And it's so important to have that support and that community around you when you need it. So I have a cabin in Illinois, and I always thought that would be the perfect place to run a camp for kids. I had not done it before then. I'm like, oh, it'll be too hard. Oh, I need insurance. Oh, this, oh, that. So I'd put it off. And so after the divorce, I said, all right, it's time. I'm going to try it. I'm going to, open up a camp with registration, spread the word, and just see how it goes. And actually, after a few months of opening it up, I only had one camper signed up, but I had opened a June and July session, and a friend of mine said, if you will open an August session, I can fill it with my daughter and her friends. So I did. I opened up an August session. I sent another press release out to the local paper in Illinois there, and they had not responded to the first press release, but at this point, they wrote an article about my camp. And so I ended up able to run a June, July, and August session that first summer. And that was 13 years ago. And word spread. A lot of my campers just come from, word of mouth and people talking to each other. And I also have a lot of campers who come back every year. And it's a beautiful thing because we're out in nature at my cabin, which is my favorite place. And I get to share that with others and we get to write.
Oh my God, that sounds wonderful to me. What an inspiring story, real story that's actually it's still happening. So it's called Words on Fire Writing Camp for Teens. And I know I have the website here, wordsonfirecamp.wordpress.com. I'll have the link on the podcast notes as well. That would be wonderful to talk a little bit more about that. How does it work? This is for teens all over the country or only locally?
All over the place. I have people coming in from East Coast, the West Coast. Most are from Illinois because that's where it is located. But I have campers coming in from all over. And the sessions run Monday through Friday. Most of my campers are overnighters. So, they spend the whole time there. I have a few that come and go as day campers. But most do the overnight experience.
Right. That sounds wonderful to me. That's beautiful. See, for some of us who are wondering what to do, how to make what we love professional, and it's not really a career per se. You could call that. But I don't know. I feel like it's really a way of connecting with ourselves and others in a meaningful way. That's how I have always seen this idea of profession. It was never really something separate from myself, for who I am. And when I tried, it didn't work. When I tried to do something professionally that was not in alignment with my own heart, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it worked for perhaps financially was good, but not in terms of happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction. I was not happy.
When we can follow our passion and earn money as we do it, isn't that the most wonderful thing?
Yes, yes.
And especially if we can help others as we do that.
Right, Alice. Yes, yes, that's it. And I wonder why some people don't get to have this experience. Are there some suggestions? What do you feel could help us align the all parts of ourselves in our lives? What are some suggestions when it comes to that?
Sure. How can we align who we truly are inside with what we do for a living?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Right. And that's what worried me so much is, could I do that? Could I take who I was and my passions and actually make a living doing that? And I wasn't sure if I would be able to or not, because the writing, like I say, sometimes it brings in income and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And so what I did was, you know, I knew I wanted to run the camp. I knew I loved to write. I knew I loved working with children. And so I set a trajectory and a goal. This is what I want to do. Financially, because we have to think finances.
Yeah.
And I realize now that I am a business person, whether I like that or not, it's simply a reality.
Yeah.
Another writer had told me, set a goal financially, write it down. How much do you want to try to make every year? Where is it going to come from? Get it in your head and put it out there into the universe. And as creatives, we tend not to think about the money part of things. Mm. However, it's an important part of the business.
Right.
And that worked for me. I set a goal. I wrote it down. And I tried to, as I followed my passions, just had that in the very back of my mind, that it was part of the plan. To earn this money as I followed my passions.
Right.
I also worked on thinking about what I call the bread and butter.
Yeah.
Because I think in a lot of creative arts, in a lot of the creative arts, we have no idea about the predictability of our income and whether we make a piece and whether it will sell or not. And I started thinking in terms of, what are some things, such as my camp, that I can count on as my bread and butter income that are part of the trajectory and are close to what is, you know, part of my heart and what I want to do, but is going to be a little bit more predictable for me as far as the money that I'll be able to bring in. And that became my camp. And then from that, it led to tutoring students in writing, which I also love to do.
Yes.
And I've done some freelance writing as well. Those were a little bit more predictable sources of income. And I always made sure that I had time for my own work, too, and my own writing as I did these other things. But those things allowed me to move ahead in my career as a writer.
Yes. Wow. So there are many, many steps per se. They're not really linear, right, Alice? I love how you talked about being connected to other people and listening to them, like the person who gave you the advice about kicking the ball just a little bit. One that was cute. And it's true, like a baby step, just one step at a time, not thinking about the big picture. Although, you did think about the big picture financially as well. How much do I want to make a year? So those are specific questions. And then it's almost like the dance between being open to what could happen, but have an idea of what I want to happen. So, but at the same time, not holding on too tightly to anything that we are planning to do. That has been my dance when it comes to being creative. I have written books and I do all this, but I do a lot of things, but it's very playful, actually. I love being playful in a sense of just creating things that come to me. They just, the inspiration comes. And then instead of doubting, I just make it happen just to see what happens with it. I just bring it to life and then I see, and I'm just open to whatever happens one way or another. That has worked for me.
I think that's beautiful. I really do. And I love to dance.
Yeah.
So it works for me so well because, all right, when you dance, the music, you're open to the music and whatever comes at you, you let it flow through your body and you move with it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. And yes, it's such an important part of living a creative life is to be open to the new things that show up in your life and to you know, ask myself, is this, you know, part of the dance? Mm. And how can I work this into to who I am and what I'm doing?
Right.
That's a really beautiful part of it all.
Yes, yes. It has been my observation. That's why I use the word dance. There's something about dancing that really relates to that creativity. And interestingly enough, is creativity. You probably heard about this, that, you know, the creator, people talk about God being the creator or some sort of higher intelligence. So it's all about creativity. Even being a human being, some people say, oh, I'm a creation. I am the son, the daughter of God. So it's so innate. It's a natural expression of being human, because it feels like that's where we come from. Creativity. We are the expression of creativity ourselves. Yes, I love your suggestions. I know you're very specific with your suggestions for writers. We can take that advice and apply to anything, really, especially the one about being open and dancing this dance of creativity, however it comes to us. You just kind of made me think about visualize the, you know, being on a dance floor and then a song comes in and then I don't really love that song, but, and then I have the choice, you know, to not dance that well, to just kind of, I don't know, stumble and just not, or just stay quiet, just, you know, just kind of go on the side, just stay, go back to my table perhaps and sit down and kind of just listen to it, although I don't love it. So there's something about that too, because life, it's not about perfection, right, Alice? We can't have it our way all the way and all the time.
Absolutely. And you know what? Okay. When we go back and we sit down, we can watch other people dancing.
Yes.
And there's a lot to be gained from that.
Uh-huh.
You yes. know, see how they're interpreting the music mm. and how they're moving. And mm. then we go out when we're ready again and we're rested mm. and refreshed mm. and we're better dancers.
Yes. Wow. What another. See, that would be an interesting book theme for children to learn, right? Mm-hmm. There's a dance of life. So
beautiful.
And with that in mind, something that comes to mind is, I know you mentioned going back and just seeing other people dance and just watching them and learning from that. Yes, there has been, my case has been the spiritual teachers and monks and so many people that I have been in touch with, that I am in touch with, that I know who they are, how calm and how there's something about them that it's just so graceful, the way they watch this dance of life as a whole. And they are not trying to push anything away or judge anything. There's grace there. The word that comes to me is grace. So I guess my question to you is, how do you relate to the dance of suffering, especially now with what's happening in the world?
Valeria, I use that word too, grace. When I went through my divorce and I was just in this, it felt like a black tunnel. It was unexpected, and I felt the floor had just been pulled out from under me, and the world was darkness. And I came to realize, okay, this was not the hand I thought I would be dealt in my life, but I need to play these cards with as much grace as I can. And I used exactly that word. Because so often suffering comes upon us and we don't expect it and we don't know how to deal with it. And so here you've got this hand that's dealt to you. And instead of fighting it or being angry or being resentful, if we can somehow just play those cards with as much grace as we can, and put our best selves forward as we move through the tough times. That is what I tried to do, and that got me through a really difficult period. And it, you know, still I have to remind myself when there are tough times still, as there always will be, to just try to deal with it with as much grace as possible.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful concept, isn't it? For some of us, it's just a concept, because I talk to a lot of people in my family and friends. Some people don't really know what that is. They struggle with the idea of resilience and grace. So I guess the question that comes to mind is grace something that's learned? Is it a practice that's coming from a realization at some point in time, or a byproduct of suffering itself?
Wow, that's a deep question. I guess just looking at it with my own experience, I just think I dug deep down to the core of who I was. And as we started this interview, I feel very lucky in that I default to positivity.
Yes.
I have a positive energy about me. Mm. I think it's always been there, just a love of life and the world around me, and feeling that, you know, life is a gift. And so reaching towards that core when I need to, and just holding on tight to that very basic feeling that, you know, my life is a gift and I'm going to do with it the best I can.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's truly beautiful to have that core realization. It's a realization, at some point it was for you, but the realization that was already there, that center, it's there. Center without a center, it's always there. There's something about that I have seen in with spiritual teachers more often than other people, that it's so empowering too. It's almost like leaving home and then going into a forest and then as an adventure, and then getting lost and then remembering how to go back home. Oh, I know the way back. So, but from the feeling of being lost, kind of the remembering, there's something about that. What you just said kind of comes to me as a picture, almost as an image of being lost, but remembering the way back, the way home. And with that in mind, I want to, that's just wonderful for us to, all of us kind of reflect more upon that idea of core. You know, what is there that I can always return to, that I can always count on, that I can always feel safe at? Not something outside, but inside of us. And I love how you talked about the things that you knew that you were good at it, and also your gratitude for life itself, the gift that this is, which we call life. That is profound as it gets, really. So thank you so much for being you, Alice. It's beautiful.
Thank you. And I so agree that, you know, we need to take comfort from the people around us, and inspiration from those who have gone through similar things. And I definitely did that. But like you said, in the end, our own core is where we need to find our greatest strength, reaching within and realizing that we are strong enough and we have all the resources we need within ourselves to deal with whatever we must deal with.
Yes, yes, yes. And we really do. And that's one of the reasons why I host this podcast. Feel that's so needed. And I wish that everyone could listen to these conversations, at least part of it. And my team, they do extract some of the messages and we put out there just the most powerful, direct messages on finding that core, so we can get more people to at least reflect upon these things. It's not something that we get to understand or live, let's say, overnight. Doesn't really happen. In my case, it was not overnight. And for so many people that I talk to, it has been an interest in dance again. So we always kind of having the opportunity to return to it, you know, that practice of returning to something that we know that's true to us. Also with that in mind, I mentioned off record, I love the website, another website you have. So I have three websites here that I'll have on the podcast notes, lsbmcginty.com. And then I have the wordsonfirecamp.wordpress.com. And then the other one, it's newsfromthehappyside.com. That just put a smile on my face again. It's just so inspiring to have a website like that. newsfromthehappyside.com. So talk to me about this, this website and what was the inspiration for it?
Sure. So my partner, Alan, and I, and we've been together for about 8 years now, wrote a book together, inspired in Jamaica, as we were wandering the beach and looking out at the ocean and, you know, realizing, well, there's so much out there that we don't know, I said. And he said, but the sea knows. and that got us started on the book. So we write this book, it's published, and now we needed a presence together. And we decided to go bigger than just like Alice and Alan Wright or just writers. And we're really playing off of the sense of wonder that we both feel. And as we look at the natural world, and so Alan came up actually with the name News from the Happy Side. Well, the book came out right around the time that the pandemic was beginning. And we just asked ourselves, what could we do to put out happiness in the world, because the world really seemed to need it then more than ever. And so we got the website up, and then we began these newsletters, just free newsletters to spread happiness and also examine happiness for ourselves. And I don't, you know, we're at like about 57, I think, or something. We've done that many newsletters now. And we keep thinking we'll run out of ideas, but we don't. So it's helped us to get in touch with our inner joy. And I hope it helps others out there as well.
Yes, absolutely. It has helped to put a smile on my face just by looking at the name, the energy behind that. And then the website's beautiful too, really beautiful. You both are doing beautiful work in this, in our reality. So we're almost at the end. I do have, now you inspired me to ask that question, that open question about happiness. What is your idea of happiness, Alice? What is happiness to you?
It is a deep down feeling of loving the world, I think, around me. To me, that I think everyone feels happiness in a very unique way. That's how I feel it.
Wow. It goes back to that sense of gratitude again. I mean, that's what it feels to me. You're so connected with the love for life. That's how I see it. Because life loves life. And the more we see ourselves as life itself and not separate from any aspect of life, the more we get to live what that is like, what it's like to love life as life itself. So I'm getting that message from you, which is a very deep one. Thank you so much.
I agree.
Wow.
Thank you for putting it in words.
That's wonderful. So we're almost at the end. So I'll have all those links on the podcast notes. I want to thank you again for your presence and Alan's presence in our reality, for listening to your heart and for living this life as a magical, amazing, beautiful experience. So beautiful happening, even. Forget about experience. That's another concept, but just something that's happening. So thank you so much again, Alice. And before we say goodbye, I do have another question for you. It's a question that I usually ask everyone, so I'll ask you too. What three experiences do you wish everyone to have before they die, before they lose the body.
Wow. Love, whether that be love for themselves, which hopefully it will be, or another human being or the world around. Creativity, to take something that wasn't there at all and through who you are to be able to create something new to bring to the world. And I guess last would be adventure. Going out and wandering the world, even if it's close by, even if you're just seeing something new that's only a block away, to really notice something new in your life and have an adventure. Do something that's maybe a little bit outside your comfort zone and go for it.
Yes, that's inspiring too. Yeah, I was just, as you speak, I was just imagining. I usually take my dog to the little piece of grass here on the side of my house, and I was just imagining seeing that differently, you know, something new about that space in nature. What's not to love about you, Alice? Thank you so much again. And before we
thank
say goodbye,
you,
goodbye.
Valeria.
Thank you. Before we say goodbye, goodbye, did you leave anything unsaid? I forgot to ask that question earlier. Is there anything that you'd like to add? Any questions that I didn't ask? Anything else, Alice?
Oh, I think you've done wonderfully. I love how you dig deep into topics and feelings and, you know, really get to the bottom of things. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I have very much. My heart has enjoyed this incredibly, even before we started, actually knowing where you are and where you're coming from. It's an energetic resonance. That's interesting how it gets to touch us before we meet people. So thank you again for your presence, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now, Alice.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Alice B. McGinty and her work, please visit alicebmcginty.com, newsfromthehappyside.com, and wordsonfirecamp.wordpress.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.